Call to order the Higher Education Career Readiness Policy and Finance Committee. Thank you for being patient. We have a quorum, and we'd like to have someone offer, if you've read the minutes, and offer an amendment, or I mean a motion to accept the minutes for March the 14th.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
Okay, Representative, now I've never met Anselmo, right?
Anselmo.
Yeah. First time I've called on you, so I was sure you're going to get it right.
I'm going to pay attention.
Yeah, I like that name. Any questions, corrections? Not all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes have been approved. Our intention is to get through the agenda by putting time, otherwise stand by. First bill today, House File 2080. And I will offer that motion that this bill would be laid over. No, it would not. It would be close to Ways and Means. Sorry. So House File 2080 appropriates $50,000 in fiscal 2018 and 2019 to the Office of Higher Education for a grant to the Loan Repayment Assistance Program of Minnesota. The grant must be used to provide education debt relief to attorneys with full-time employment, providing legal advice or representation to low-income clients for support services for similar work. That's really how simple this is. So we have a couple of testifiers to join us, and I don't know who's first, but identify yourself and then begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Heather Vlieger, and I'm the Executive Director of the Loan Repayment Assistance Program of Minnesota, or LRAP Minnesota. And our mission is to help dedicated legal aid attorneys overcome their education debt barrier so that they can serve low-income clients. The legal aid work that they do helps low-income clients secure essential needs like food, shelter, and safety. And they're very efficient at their work. For every dollar legal aid spends, there's a $4 return on investment. But funding is limited, and for each client served, two are turned away. At the same time, law school education debt is $150,000 or more, and legal aid starting salaries are $45,000 or less. That creates a barrier to pursuing legal aid work. But loan repayment assistance makes it possible for legal aid providers to recruit and retain dedicated and talented legal aid attorneys. Community demand for loan repayment assistance exceeds our current capacity. We have about 40 attorneys serving low-income clients throughout Minnesota. Many of them are living and working exclusively in greater Minnesota. But this year alone, we had to turn down 7 eligible applicants due to lack of funding. I'd like to turn things over to Genevieve Gaborio. She is one of the program recipients, and she can tell you more about the important work our attorneys do and how LRAP helps her do it.
You're welcome.
Chair Nordis, members of the committee, my name is Genevieve Gaborio. I am an attorney at Mid-Minnesota Legal Assistance. We're free lawyers for people in Hennepin County and 20 counties in kind of the central part of the state. And I supervise the senior law project, so all of my clients are 60 and over, having problems with shelter, food stamps, medical assistance benefits, likewise. And I started at Mid-Minnesota Legal Assistance right after law school in 2005 and started getting grants from LRAP Minnesota shortly after that. And I can tell you that LRAP really has been the bridge that has allowed me to stay at legal aid, allowed me and my husband to decide that we could have a family and could afford child care, which is quite expensive. I started with over $100,000 in loans, and it's been essential for me to have the LRAP funding to stay at legal aid. It's also been very helpful to my clients. It's not just good for me, but the longer that I stay and that other people who get LRAP can stay at their programs, the more they understand the systems, the referrals, the kind of cases that can be done, and can assess cases faster and solve them faster. So one really brief example was a client I had, an elderly woman with a fixed income who was eligible for more than $100 a month in food support, SNAP benefits, and she had to recertify, reapply, got all her paperwork in on time, and it sat on someone's desk to be approved. So she called me after it had been 2 months with no benefits. Everyone at her county was telling her everything had been approved. I said, well, we can go ahead and file appeals, go through the DHS administrative hearing process, which is lengthy and time-consuming for everyone, or I can try to contact the manager that I'm familiar with, because I've been doing this and I know the system. I called that manager, and her benefits were turned on the next day, and she got the 2 months of checks that she was missing, and it's fine going forward. So it just kind of explains why retention is really helpful, and why I really am appreciative of the LRAP benefits I've received, and I hope that you continue to support that and fund it with this bill. And I'll take any questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. I know Ms. Bleeger was here last night and apologized for not getting to our bill, but I don't know, were both of you here last night till closing time? Okay. Well, we appreciate you being here. Any members have questions? Okay. I don't know if anyone else wants to testify that's in the audience. Very quiet. So I will renew my motion that House File 2080 be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's referred. Thank you very much. Next we have Rob Eklund. Representative Lean, would you like to move this bill?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay. House File 1034 will be held over for possible inclusion. And Representative Eklund, welcome to the House for the Higher Education Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm just curious, what do you think the twins will be doing this year? Are they going to be okay?
They're at 600.
Oh, they're doing good then.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So House File 1034 is a request for appropriation of $360,000 to the Cook County Higher Education Board. A couple things about the Cook County Higher Education. They generate money for 20 different, 20-plus college campuses across the state. They expand REACH statewide education, provides for providers from the North Shore of Minnesota. And I think probably the most amazing thing about the Cook County Higher Education is that their dedicated students have better than 90% completion rate, Mr. Chair and members. So this is a good group that works up there in Grand Marais. It's 120 miles to the closest college campus, so they provide a tremendous service to the residents of Cook County. And with that, I'd like to have Dr. Paulson at Wolf speak more of the merits of this.
Okay. Welcome to the committee, and identify yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Paula Sundet Wolf, and I'm the Executive Director of Cook County Higher Education, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to share our story and needs with you today. So for the past 20 years, Cook County Higher Education has been collaborating with colleges and universities to provide certificates, degrees, and workforce training to the residents of Cook County as well as Lake County. This started as a federal pilot project in 1996, and there's very few federal pilot projects like that that have continued this long. This is really exciting and rewarding work. Most of our certificate and degree graduates double their wages after they've completed, and they're no longer in assistance programs. Workforce development programs keep our businesses growing and abreast of technology changes. This is really critical, in particular because we are so far away, as Representative Eklund mentioned. That's 120 miles. That means it's a 2.5-hour drive one way to the nearest college campus. That's a little overwhelming. It's a significant barrier for students. We have 5,000 residents in our county, which is about the size of Rhode Island. 92% of our land is public land. 50% of our homes are owned by non-residents, and our tourism economy serves 5 million people a year. That's a lot of people to serve with 5,000 residents. So our job at Cook County Higher Education is to make sure that our residents and our businesses have a workforce that can meet those particular needs of our community. So, for instance, we want to assure that our healthcare facility has qualified staff to provide those emergency and routine needs to the community. We annually serve between 50 and 150 people in degree programs and work with as many as 500 to 600 people in workforce training every year. That's basically serving 10% of our population. We have 4 people running this organization. That's what is, in essence, a satellite campus for northeastern Minnesota. And as you mentioned, we've got a 90% completion rate. As a nonprofit, we're really flexible. We're able to tailor our programs to meet the needs of our businesses, and that means that we can shift gears. So one year, if we're offering a nursing program, the next year we can focus on another business need. And we've established very strong partnerships with the regional colleges and universities and training centers in the region. But our big need right now are for, as it shows in your packet, are for healthcare programs in particular. And the big need is because a lot of those programs require, and reasonably require, to have a minimum number of people, in particular for the lab-related programs. So, for instance, to offer a nursing program, which we have done in the community in the past, you have to have a minimum number of anywhere from 10 to 12 people. And we can pull together 6, but not 10 to 12. So that means that we're either not offering at all, and those 6 people are either trying to hang on or do something else or finally just give up. So program and support for this bill will help make that kind of thing happen. And workforce training, of course, is another pressing need, and the same thing happens. We don't have the critical mass to provide programs, some of which are certificate degree programs like culinary and hospitality. And our current annual budget is $285,000, with $140,000 of that coming from the state at this point in time. The remainder comes from county and regional grants and local donations. Our request is to increase that base budget to $500,000 to meet the needs we've identified in our community. One of the things I really want to make a point of is that we don't receive any revenue from those enrolled students. That money goes directly to the colleges and universities, which is great. So that means that those state dollars, as they're being spent theoretically in our community, are going right back out into the region. For the past many years that we've been getting the funding, that and more dollars actually flow right back to those colleges and universities. And we work with about 19 different institutions, so that's kind of significant, certainly is for us. So in closing, a state funding increase will enable us to continue to provide all the benefits of college institution without that enormous infrastructure expense of a campus. And the student enrollment provides a really nice return on investment to the colleges and universities. Thank you again for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for being here. I think someone was in my office, may have been you, a while back. We talked about this then, and that's very interesting to hear about their success up there. By the way, the Twins just won 8-0. Where else can you hear that kind of an So, any questions from members? All right. Representative Eklund?
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you, and members, for buying the time for us to meet, and I certainly hope that we can include this bill for possible on this bill.
Okay. Representative Lean, would you renew motion?
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 1034 be laid over for possible inclusion in the committee's omnibus bill.
Okay. All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Mr. Chair.
All right. Next bill on our agenda today is House File 2398. Representative Zerwas. You have brought a cheering section. I assume they're not cheering.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Just a pause.
I just thought, life's too short, so.
I tell you.
We made popcorn.
Time out.
All
right.
Thank you.
Not in charge. Not in charge.
That would be lazy. Get out of here. All me.
I just urge you to eat quietly.
Okay.
I was popping popcorn in my office. I think that's where you got the idea from. And I didn't share it, so that's another. What? Oh, okay. All right. Let's get back to the agenda.
Mr. Chairman.
You want to move your bill?
Yeah, I'll move House Bill 2398. Mr. Chair members, I think the bill is heading to Health and Human Services Finance.
That is correct. So, explain 2398 to us.
Mr. Chair members, House Bill 2398 is a grant program to the Minnesota Life College and need-based scholarship and tuition reduction for students at Minnesota Life College. Minnesota Life College is a 501c3 nonprofit vocational and life skill training program for young adults with learning differences and autism spectrum disorders. Since their founding in 1996, Minnesota Life College has remained dedicated to helping students make a successful transition toward independent living and financial self-sufficiency. Using real-world skills for real life is their trademark. That curriculum, their students learn in their own apartments how to operate the grocery store in the workplace, restaurants, utilize public transportation, and any practical environment where real-life skills are needed to be trained. Mr. Chair and members, I'm excited to be able to carry this bill, and we have several testifiers today, so I'm going to limit my remarks to make time for more testifiers. This time I'll turn it over to our testifier.
Okay, welcome to the committee, and just tell me your name and then proceed, please.
I'm Ryan Olson. Good afternoon, Chairman Norris and committee members. Thank you, Representative Nick Zervas and Senator Carla Nelson, for chief authoring our bill today. I am joined by Hannah Downs and Kelly Pierce. We are political science students from Concordia University, St. Paul. We are thrilled to be joined by our friends from Minnesota Life College, also known as MLC. As Concordia students, we couldn't be more pleased to spend our spring break at the Capitol. No Florida or South Padre for us. Our spring break has consisted of continually going door-to-door in your offices, gathering support for our bill that will provide greater access to post-secondary educational opportunities for aged-out special education students. MLC boasts a nationally recognized and unique career, life, and skills curriculum based right here in Minnesota. Our system does a great job of providing developmental opportunities for special education students in high school. However, for young adults with autism, post-educational options are limited. Regardless of disability, everyone deserves to have hope, dreams, and purpose. These are things that embody the American dream, and Minnesota Life College is answering our urgent call of what to do with hundreds and thousands of students aging out.
Thank you. I was going to offer you some popcorn, but I'm not sure is there enough
just
in that.
Tell you, yeah.
Okay, so it's a substitute for your spring break in Florida.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you might have to share. I'm not sure how much is there. So, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I'm Hannah Downs, and I'm also a student at Concordia University. Part of our curriculum at Concordia is researching, problem solving, and finding a legislative answer to an issue that we care about and are passionate for. Our initial list of research topics was from the traditional college students' interests, anywhere from substance abuse or sexual assault. However, there was no real topic that was fulfilling our service mission mindsets of doing what is right for those who need our assistance. Our professor talked with us about the inevitable statistic of the number of students projected to age out and how the public policy debate around autism had fallen subdued to why the increases and what causes autism. As a class of student athletes to coaches to artists, we agreed it was time to move the policy debate down the field and start to focus on how do we educate or how do we help. We soon discovered that Minnesota isn't just known for hockey players and lakes. Minnesota Life College is nationally acclaimed for its proven outcomes, life skills, and employment curriculum that is constantly changing America and how young adults with autism are in the workforce. They are starting to live independently and like us. Traditional students who like to hang out, socialize, and be free from mom and dad's checkbook.
We also decided to do what college students do best. We invited MLC students to eat pizza and what amounted was instant friendships and a legislative answer to expand critical access programming for others. I still remember the repeated tone of our conversation. Had MLC not have existed, many of these students sheepishly admitted that they'd be still living with their parents, just like the other 83% of their peers. They'd be in their parents' basement playing video games and wondering what happens when mom and dad aren't able to take care of them, or realize what happens when their parents pass away. And then what? We quickly noticed MLC students weren't focused on those questions. They were focused on questions about their next career moves, living independently, and their pride was contagious. When we left MLC, we were all noticeably emotionally moved.
Thank you.
My name is Kelly Pierce, and I am a Concordia student athlete. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. In our position, we've recognized that we have the power to make a significant difference in the lives of these students. We feel that we were called to tell the story of MLC and share their successes with you. We knew it was our job to make a difference in their lives and others similar to them. It was then that my team realized the power we had as students to help other students. We've researched, worked through your offices, and navigated the Capitol hallway countless times. This bill will provide career preparation and life skills training to a greater number of students in desperate need of help. It's time that these young adults are given an opportunity to live independently and fully. While MLC may sound like a dream school for students with learning disabilities, it isn't all perfect. MLC has no access to student loans, and families pay tuition out of pocket. In fact, for a family to afford to send their child to MLC, they'll need to come up with $60,000 a year just for tuition. This bill will provide scholarship and tuition assistance. This has been a tremendous learning experience for us students. By meeting with all of you, writing about our cause, and advocating for this bill, we've had the opportunity to get an in-depth look at how things are actually done. In many cases, professionals advise that classroom experience and real-world experience seldom line up. With this class, we've seen the best of both worlds. Additionally, volunteering is a huge focus for my football team this offseason. In fact, next week, my team and I are volunteering with MLC. We've taken our impact as athletes off the field and moved the policy discussion to a whole new level. See, the MLC Bulldogs have a fitting name. More than any other breed, the Bulldogs' character and personality is often misunderstood. There is no misunderstanding here. This bill will provide young adults with passion, talent, and hope, greater access to a productive and healthy future. As a college student and their friend, we couldn't be more proud. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Amy Goodmanstead. I am the executive director at Minnesota Life College located in Ridgefield. Today, I am joined by Minnesota Life College student Andrew Sostrom and his mother, Lisa Keitel, and MLC job developer, Jeff Myrie. I want to express my deep appreciation to you, Chairman Norns, your awesome staff, and the terrific students from Concordia University. Thank you, Representative Zerwas and Senator Nelson, for gathering information about Minnesota Life College and recognizing how we are changing the way people look at independence and quality of life for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and learning differences. We have never testified before a committee, so I am really excited to introduce Minnesota Life College to all of you. We take great pride in the work that we have done. For over 20 years, we have studied, revised, and now lead America with a life skills curriculum that integrates individuals into lifelong community living and employment. We believe that we are now at another advancement point in our curriculum and what we do. So why is this important? As you know, roughly 1 in 68 U.S. children are diagnosed with autism spectrum disorders. Roughly 50,000 will graduate from high school this year alone. Where do they go after high school? Our program and its research are significant. With the increase in the prevalence of autism, this is a critical demand to have an understanding of how to meet the needs of individuals after high school. Many of the social and communication challenges experienced by individuals with autism can create significant barriers to living independently, engaging socially, and sustaining employment. Most research conducted to date paints a poor picture of an adult life for individuals with autism. Many of them required support after beyond high school and may not experience success due to a lack of adaptive skills. These skills may need to be taught explicitly, including work readiness and employment skills, social participation, including community, recreation, and leisure skills, and daily living skills, independent living skills. MLC's comprehensive program addresses all three of these identified critical skill areas in an experiential, community-based learning setting. The mission of Minnesota Life College is to transform the lives by addressing the everyday challenges posed by autism spectrum disorders and enhancing the quality of life of individuals and families affected by it. We know that there is a great need for Minnesota Life College. In a typical year, we will receive nearly 500 requests for information about our program. However, we can only accept 16 students per year. We know our programs work. Currently, 85% of our eligible job seekers are employed. 80% of our graduates are involved in 2 to 3 social activities per week. 90% of our graduates are living in their own apartment, not with a parent, or in a group home. Our students' and graduates' achievements have far exceeded the demographic statistics and national trends. We need to change the paradigm about people with autism spectrum disorders and learning differences are capable of doing. And with your help, we can do that. I invite each of you out to see our campus, to meet our wonderful students and graduates, and see MLC for yourself. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you very much for being here. And where is this campus located?
It is in Richfield. It's Richfield. Actually right across the street from Best Buy headquarters, one of our partners.
I know where that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love to have you out.
Thanks for being here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me to speak, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm honored to be here. My name is Lisa Keitel. I'm here with my son, Andrew, who will speak next. My husband, Eric, and I raised Andrew in our home in St. Paul. For any parent or for any person who loves a child, you want them to be happy in their life. Our goal is for Andrew is to be happy in his life. For any parent or for anyone who loves a child, you want them to live independently and have meaningful work. Our goal is to have Andrew live independently. And our goal is to have Andrew have a job. For any parent or for any person who loves a child, you want them to be safe in their world and be surrounded by people who love them and care about their welfare. Our goal for Andrew is to move safely through his world surrounded by people who love and care about his welfare. This independence comes when your child, starts to stretch the boundaries, express their opinions, explore their environment, and push the limits. They're going to be resisting and rebelling from your parental oversight. They're going to be creating their own life separate from you. When you have a child with special needs, and for Andrew, it is his learning disabilities, this difference and separation takes a much different path from the neurotypical child. It happens much later, and at times, it may not happen at all. As his high school graduation approached, it was difficult to imagine Andrew gaining a sense of responsibility for his world and his actions while still living at home. It was difficult to imagine Andrew increasing his independence safely in the community while still living at home. Also, having Andrew learn independent living skills for me was going to be very challenging. We were never a particularly good working pair together. Having Andrew find a successful work experience without me being a helicopter mom was very, very important. So Andrew needed to gain a sense of responsibility for his world and his own actions. He needed to learn life skills to manage his daily world. He needed to learn about and experience the work world. As parents, Eric and I needed to trust this environment. This needed to be a safe, success-oriented, understanding environment. There have been enough stops and starts and roadblocks and disappointments to last a lifetime for our children and young adults with special needs. We needed an open and honest, real-world look at Andrew's work skills and challenges. A workplace for Andrew to learn and practice different jobs and tasks. We needed a workplace where Andrew can practice and learn working with people. And a place that understands working with accommodations and job coaching support. So Andrew wants independence, as all young people do. Andrew's long-term plan is to be a YouTube video artist and make YouTube videos. But he also knows he needs to have a job to earn money, to live, and then he can make his videos in his spare time. So we are at Minnesota Life College, and we have found a fabulous place. We, as a family, have found this safe community for Andrew to live and explore his independence. We have found a supportive environment for Andrew to learn these real skills for real life. We have found the skill-based program for daily living and life skills. Andrew takes great pride in preparing his meals, often sending us photos of the latest preparations, and navigating through the city on the Metro Transit. We have found a skill-based program for job training and experiences. Andrew has had several different internships and completed these successfully. Andrew has increased his social skills on the job, interacting with coworkers and customers with much greater ease. We have found the understanding, committed community of Minnesota Life College teachers and staff are exemplary in their skilled work with our young adults. And of greatest importance, we, as his parents, have the confidence and trust to leave our extraordinary young man in the care of Minnesota Life College. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Mrs. Cattle, for being here. And now we look forward to Andrew. Andrew, welcome to the committee. And
hello.
Yeah, glad you're here. Just tell us your name so we have that for the record, and then you can...
I'm... Should I...
Nope, you're perfect.
Okay. Yeah. I'm Andrew Shostrom, as they told you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm a junior, or I'm a 20-year-old junior at MLC. MLC has given me the skills to prepare me for an independent life. Also, outside of my parents' house. For the first time, I'm comfortable making meals by myself and understand what is necessary to accomplish these tasks. I'm proud that I can now use public transportation confidently by myself, and I'm happy that I can meet my dad for lunch in downtown Minneapolis. My internship, or one of my internships through MLC at Walker Care Suites in Edina, has prepared me for the workplace. This and other internships in the community have built up my resume and helped me shape my career path. Before coming to MLC, I knew that I was capable of doing things effectively, but I didn't know I could do multiple things effectively and on my own.
Very good.
thank you.
I was just going to add, you said you do make your own meals. Yeah. And my wife's always complaining to me because I avoid doing the dishes.
We have that problem, too. You're not alone.
All right, we're equal there. That's good.
That's mainly every, like, apartment's problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not alone.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for being here. You did well. Members have any questions? Or any other testifiers? Oh, there's another one.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Jeff Myrie. I'm a job developer at Minnesota Life College. And today I'll be sharing the testimony on behalf of Ross Podovec, district manager of Walgreens. Ross wishes he could be here today, but is enjoying an extremely well-planned warm weather vacation.
Good planning.
Ross writes, my name is Ross Podovec, district manager for the Walgreens stores in Roseville, Minnesota, and other surrounding areas. I have had the honor of partnering with Minnesota Life College over the last 6 years, both as an employer and as a community partner. During these 6 years, Walgreens has employed several Minnesota Life College students and has hosted over 50 MLC student externs. I have witnessed firsthand the impact that Minnesota Life College has had not only on their students, but also their families and our community. I can speak with certainty on the effect that Minnesota Life College has had on two current Walgreens employees that are Minnesota Life College alumni, with whom I have worked directly with in Edina, Corey and Annalisa. Both have been employed with Walgreens for over 15 years. Not only did the school help them gain real-world skills necessary to live independently, MLC also helped them prepare for the workplace. Both Corey and Annalisa are shining examples of consistency, dedication, and excellence in their roles at Walgreens. Their work performance has only been eclipsed by their passion and joy they bring to their jobs every day. I am always impressed with how Minnesota Life College prepares the students for their workplace, and am equally impressed at how the school continues to be a strong support system for the alum long after graduation. I truly believe that MLC is one of the Midwest's best-kept secrets, and Walgreens is honored to be their community partner. This bill will provide increased access to life skill curriculum and a career-focused program that has proven outcomes. I strongly ask for your bipartisan support. After more graduates successfully complete their education at Minnesota Life College, Walgreens will be waiting to hire. I am grateful at the opportunity to speak on behalf of Minnesota Life College today and advocate for its amazing and critical curriculum.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions from members of any of the testifiers? Well, Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the author of the bill, I'm just looking at line 1.18, and Representative Zaras, I know that there's two appropriations for both 18 and 19, and I'm just wondering if there is a emphasis on one year over the other for the appropriation in terms of getting momentum started, or if there's an equalization that is preferred by the college itself.
Yeah.
Representative Zervas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I just assumed that they were both going to be really big.
Representative Albright,
no more questions.
Okay, any other questions? If not, Representative Zerwas, would you renew your motion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members, I think the interesting thing about Minnesota Life College and what we've heard from the testimony, and obviously it's very encouraging, it's very heartwarming, but I guess I'd leave the committee with this thought as we head to Health and Human Service Finance. This isn't boy, we should do that, or that's a nice to have. If you think back to Minnesota's federal court settlement with the Olmstead case, we're required by a federal court lawsuit and a settlement that we reached. We're required as a state to put forth state policies that integrate people with special needs in our community into the community to make sure that they have open access and options to participate in their communities, when possible, get gainful employment and independent living. That's not an extra. It's not a nice to have. That is by order of a federal judge in a court settlement that the state of Minnesota agreed to. We need to do our part, and I think this bill is a step towards that. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll renew my motion.
Okay, House Bill 2398 then is referred to the Health and Human Services Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Opposed? It's done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
That's a very slow aye.
Okay, we back up to House File 2153, if you're ready. And that's Brian Daniels' bill. He is ill today, so we have gone to the bench. Representative Albright will present the bill. House File 2153 will be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you again for the popcorn.
Mr. Chair, it's always a pleasure to serve your committee.
A little heavy on the salt, a little light on the butter, but that's what...
perfection is always something to be scared of.
I know,
Mr. Chair, so I will attempt to appease to your wishes.
All right. Please proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm honored and proud to be before this committee today on behalf of Representative Daniels and House File 2153. Now, this bill will make a big difference in the lives of students with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their families. I'd also like to recognize Bethel College for their outstanding work in creating the BUILD program. And this bill, with which they are an integral part, makes an effort to bring that type of program to Minnesota State campuses and the University of Minnesota. This bill will provide financial assistance. Right now, it is an open appropriation to Minnesota State and the University of Minnesota for the establishment of a program for students with intellectual and developmental disabilities. This type of program is extremely rare in the United States. I might add it may be the only one, and will make Minnesota a leader in the effort to create access to higher education certificate programs for this group of students. The reality is that students with intellectual and developmental disabilities have very limited options after high school. Parents are often told their options are to have their student live with them or sent to a group home. There is a real lack in understanding of the potential that these students, fantastic individuals, have, and there are several in our audience today. We need to provide students with the tools they need to be active participants in society, members, the ability to live on their own, to have a job, and honestly let them know that we believe in their ability for success. The Bethel Build Program and Minnesota Life College, as you've heard, which you will undoubtedly think on as we move into the assembling of our omnibus bill, are great examples of success stories of these students. And we look forward to creating these programs at Minnesota State and the University of Minnesota to give access to more students to reach their full potential in higher education and in life. With that, members, I would direct your attention to our chief nonpartisan staff for an explanation of House Bill 2153.
Mr. Hopkins?
Mr. Chair and members, as Representative Albright said, this bill requires Minnesota State colleges and universities to offer a program for students with intellectual disabilities and developmental disabilities. Section 1 of the bill details what components that program would have to have. Section 2 of the bill requests that University of Minnesota offer a program in keeping with the requirements of Section 1. And Section 3 contains the appropriation to both Minnesota State and the University of Minnesota. At this time, that appropriation is blank. just going through section one of the bill, you can get a sense for the features of the program. Subdivision two of section one requires that the program be available at no fewer than two colleges or university campuses throughout the state. Subdivision three requires that each program location seek to enroll 15 students per academic year. It also requires that the program award a credential to a student upon completion. Subdivision 4 contains features of the curriculum that are required, and those are at lines, page 2, lines 1 through 21. Sorry. Page 2, lines 1 through 14. And there's also a annual reporting requirement that is established.
All right. You have some testifiers here today as well? Or not?
I do.
Okay. Unless there are some questions of staff or the author, we'll move on. Welcome, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Kristen Jornby. I am the director for the Center for Accessibility Resources at Metropolitan State University, a member of the Minnesota State Colleges and University System. My office and those like mine throughout the system support students with a variety of disabilities through the use of an interactive, reasonable accommodation process. We support students, staff, and faculty by providing resources such as training and assistance in making connections with additional resources that may be of assistance. In 2016, Minnesota State served over 9,000 students who reported having a disability of some sort. My colleagues across the state and I provide our supports and accommodations such as extended test time, distraction-reduced testing environments, assistive technology, training, and loans, alternative text formats, access to their physical environment, either in their classrooms or their living accommodations, such as their dormitories, and far too many more to list here today. Our goal is to create access to all aspects of the educational environment for those with experience barriers. Last year, the legislature asked Minnesota State to develop a report related to creating programming for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, as Representative Albright has already mentioned. I, along with several others, representing a variety of disciplines within the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, were asked to be a part of the work group that developed this report. We appreciate this committee's work in calling attention to the work that we do in serving these outstanding Minnesotans. The work group reviewed similar programs across the country, taking into consideration not only the requirements set forth in our charge, but also the fiscal needs that would be required to launch and maintain such programs, but also to address the barriers to full implementation. The requirement for this program to include a residential component does not account for those students who would like to choose a living situation different from that that traditional students choose. It also eliminates many of our system colleges and universities from being considered as a host for this type of program because they do not have a residential component available. Metropolitan State is an example of this. Only six of the state universities could be considered, including Winona State University or Minnesota State University Moorhead. There are other alternatives to living on campus that allow students to have a robust, inclusive, full-time experience, which are not addressed in this particular bill. Members of the disability community, as Representative Zerwas has alluded to, have asked for and, in fact, demanded through Minnesota's Olmstead Plan choice in their lives. They wish to have the ability to make choices that, such as their peers, and do not want a one-size-fits-all approach to their lives. Minnesota State supports this, as well as learning for all Minnesotans throughout their lifetimes, and welcomes the opportunity to work with individuals currently underrepresented in our schools. such as with Minnesota Lake College. I'll turn it over to one of my colleagues.
All right. Thank you very much. Welcome to the committee, and are you Mary Levinsky?
Yes.
Lipinski Benson.
Yes.
I've been looking at I went to school with a Lipinski, but it's not important.
Okay.
So, would you identify yourself for the record and then proceed?
Yes. My name is Chair Knowles and members. My name is Mary Benson, and I am the occupational skills teacher and coordinator at Ridgewater College. It's my pleasure to provide background information on our occupational skills program. I have worked for the program for the past 5 years, but even before that was involved with the program as a secondary teacher referring students to this program. I also served on their advisory board. The occupational skills program was established at Ridgewater College in Wilmer over 28 years ago. I think we're a really well-kept secret. The program is a 9-month technical program for students with disabilities, intellectual and developmental, including autism, that focus on work skills and independent living skills. Students earn 32 credits and graduate with a diploma. The mission of the program is to prepare students for competitive entry-level employment in the community. I believe this program closely mirrors the intent of Representative Daniel's bill. Ridgewater is one of two programs in Minnesota. Central Lakes College began their program approximately 30 years ago and shares the same mission. We work closely together to serve this student population. The program offers vocational training in a variety of community-based training sites. Students choose from over 80 different internship sites. At the internship site, students learn the skills necessary to perform that job, as well as employability skills necessary for any job. They are trained and supervised by employees, managers at that individual site. Our internship coordinator visits the sites, working closely with employers and students, and making sure that the work site is a good fit for students and that they are learning the necessary employment skills. Students are required to fill out timesheets, journal on a daily basis. Internship is a 5-credit class in the fall and 4 credits in the spring. This practical hands-on learning accounts for nearly 1/3 of a student's credits. Grades are based on employer evaluations, attendance, and timesheets. Students work at internship sites in the morning and attend classes at Ridgewater College in the afternoon. Classes teach employment skills as well as independent living skills. Career exploration, job keeping, and job seeking skills are taught, as well as consumer and community living skills, technology, first aid, and human relations. Through all of our classes, interpersonal skills are strengthened by working as a team, accepting constructive criticism, communicating, getting along with peers, and maintaining a positive attitude. Soft skills that our employers are requesting are also taught, such as time management, punctuality, attendance, problem solving, and work ethic are intertwined into the curriculum. Students complete a work portfolio including a references, a resume, and cover letters. The last month of the program, students complete a job search class where they are actually seeking employment in the community where they will live. They fill out applications, use internet job searching techniques, and go on interviews. Occupational skills students have access to all student services at Ridgewater College, including counseling, the academic support center, clubs, sports, student center, student life activities, and theater. Several students actually auditioned for a play this year. Each year, we have anywhere from 10 to 22 students in the occupational skills program. We report just as we do for all of our college program. Our placement rates have been between 83 and 100% employment rates upon completion of the program. These are statistics over the last 8 years. The jobs our students have been hired for include, but are not limited to, sales associates, cashiers, maintenance and custodial, certified nursing assistant, stock people, warehouse associates, servers, dietary aides, sales assistants, child care aides, housekeeper, personal care assistants, and food prep assistants. Every year, my coworker, there's only two of us that work in the program, my internship coordinator and myself, every year we welcome new students, and every year we are excited to host a group of new students. There are so many stories that I could tell, so many success stories, that I could sit here for hours and bore you with one after another. In the interest of time, I'll just share one. Adam, from last year, Adam came from Tyler, Minnesota. He's on the autism spectrum disorder. He did not want to come to Ridgewater. His parents basically said, you're going to college. And off he went. And the night before classes, he told me this months later, the night before classes were to start, his parents left him at, we don't have dorms on our campus, so our students live, my students in our program live either in their own apartment with some assistance, or they live in family foster care or corporate foster care. But the night before classes were to start and his parents were leaving, he actually looked at them and said, I cannot believe you are deserting me here. And he cried, and they cried all the way back to Tyler, Minnesota. Adam stayed the first week. His parents were very nervous. They're like, I'm not sure if he's going to last the first week. He went home the first weekend. They thought, hey, there's no way we're going to get him to go back. He went back the second week, the third week, got an internship at Walmart, ended up staying the whole year, graduated. Adam moved back to Tyler, transferred in his job from the Wilmer Walmart to the Marshall Walmart. He called us last fall just to update us on how he was doing, and he said, I now have my own apartment, I have a full-time job at Walmart, and oh, by the way, they really like me. So, and that's just, you know, one of the stories that I can tell you, but it's been year after year, and the students that we see and we help, and they're living their lives. They have jobs, they have apartments, they're living their lives, and with your permission, this was kind of the spur of the moment. I asked yesterday if I could bring students down, and I was told yes. So these three students came with me today, and I said to them, I said, you don't have to say anything. Don't worry. It's just a road trip.
You can just introduce them.
And but when we got down here and I found out we could say a few words, with your permission, they'd like to say a few words.
Oh, sure.
Would that be okay?
You
all
bet.
Right. Who wants you first? Okay, come on up, Jesse.
Jesse
made me listen to rap music the whole way down.
He needs some country music, that's what I'd say.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
My name is Jesse Schutte. I'm from Dawson, Minnesota. I'm in occupational skills program. I'm currently working at Tires Plus. Previously worked for Lehman Construction of Wilmer.
I have a Tires Plus store in my town, and my neighbor owns it, and that's where I get my car serviced, too. It's a good place.
Not really. What else I was going to say?
Well, that's okay. We're just happy that you're here, and hopefully you're having a good experience. Did you get over the Capitol?
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff over there.
Yeah, good.
Especially my first time, so.
Okay. Well, it's a big place.
Mr. Chair,
question, Representative Christensen.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Schutte, could you tell us who your favorite rapper is?
We were listening to Dr. Dre on the way here, so it's pretty good.
Says a lot about the commission members, I think.
That's foreign to me, too.
I'll send you links.
Yeah.
Yeah.
CC us all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. That's,
thank you.
I appreciate you being here. That's thanks for testifying. Hello. Afternoon.
Afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
Good. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
My name is Holden Stafford. I'm from Grove City, Minnesota. I had an internship at Stay and Play Childcare, but now I have a current internship at Cashwise. My favorite thing about the Occupational Skills Program is that I get to spend time with friends because, like, my friends, honestly, like my classmates, I try and treat them as co-workers. The Occupational Skills Program is actually a club, too, and I am this year's president.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And what we like to do is, like, we have to do, like, fundraisers because we want to take trips, like, outside of Wilmer. So, like, in the past, we've done fundraisers at Pizza Ranch. We've been taking people's plates and help clean them up. And we've also been selling hats like these. And we've really had a great experience with that.
What's the hat say? Anything special?
Bridgewater.
Bridgewater? Oh, I'm surprised.
Fusion Matters.
Yeah, that was very nice.
Thank you.
Any questions of this young man? You know, I had a radio station years ago, and I think your voice would have been very good on my radio station.
Well, as a matter of fact, sir, I am very interested in radio announcing.
How about that? I sold my station. I'm sorry, I can't help you. But
I understand.
Use me as a reference, all right? Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And welcome.
Hi. Hi, I'm Callie Johnson. I'm originally from Buffalo, Minnesota, but have recently moved to Howard Lake.
Okay.
First semester, I did an internship at the YMCA, and second semester, I am currently doing an English 96 class and a computers online and did an Alzheimer's online for the program. It has given me more opportunities that I didn't get through Buffalo.
Okay.
Then I recently got accepted into the Pitepta Club, which is an honor society club. So I'm currently now an honor student.
Congratulations.
Yep, I have a high GPA for that. Yep, and employed at Walmart, too.
Oh, yep. You're busy.
Yeah, very.
Yeah. So, this your first year there?
Yep.
Is it a multi-year? I may have missed that. But it's a one-year program.
Yeah,
okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, again, thank you for being here, too. We like your jacket.
Thank you.
Right. It's necessary, actually.
Does anyone on the panel or committee have a question for me? Or no?
Doing well.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting us come. It truly is an honor to be here. The work that you do is important. Thank you.
Well, we thank you for being here, too. Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair.
Mr.
Chair, I think I'll just close with this statement. I don't think anyone on this committee could have said it any better than Representative Zerwas when he said that the Olmstead decision spells out pretty plainly, it's not a should, it's a shall. And we are obligated by our oath to take care of those that are looking for some help, make the best quality of life that they can possibly make for themselves. And I believe that Representative Daniels would concur with my motives today, and I hope that I've done him justice.
Certainly have. And you want to move House File?
I will renew my motion, Mr. Chair, is it to move it or to...
It's to layover.
Yeah. To layover House File 2153 for possible inclusion in the omnibus. Oh, thank you, Mr.
Very
Chair.
Good. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next bill up. It's 2401, Representative Jessup. The Representative Jessup, your bill will also be laid over for possible inclusion vote.
Thank you, Chair Norris.
House File 2401.
2401. And Chair Norris, members, this bill establishes a grant program from the Office of the Higher Education for students with intellectual and developmental disabilities. It's an opportunity for us to have grants for the program that would be equal to the student's tuition and fees minus any Pell or state grants that the student receives. And I have got some outstanding testifiers here that I would like to present a similar approach already in existence today.
Okay. All right. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I thank you so much for the invitation to come and for your time and attention to this important matter. I brought with me a PowerPoint with pictures because I know what you really would like to see is our program and our students. I also have the distinctive honor of having Patrick Elmore here with me today. He is our first-year student in our program and has recently come back from Washington, D.C., where he spoke to senators and Education Secretary DeVos and Al Franken and several other people who are more important and far more credible than I am.
Can I interrupt for just a minute?
Sure.
I need you to tell us your name.
Sorry. My name is Janelle Kelly, and I'm from the BUILD program at Bethel University, which stands for Bethel University Inclusive Learning and Development.
Very good. Is the video ready to go?
Yes, it is.
Whenever you're ready, I guess that's.
Okay. Why do we have college for students with intellectual disabilities? Well, college doesn't give anything special to students with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Instead, it gives them what everybody else gets. Everybody else gets a chance to go to college, an opportunity to learn about themselves, to get a better job, and to grow up a little bit. That is a quote from Think College, which is a resource that's incredible for people who are interested in programs, post-secondary programs for students with intellectual disabilities. Before I talk about the opportunities that our students have today, I want to take you back in time a little bit. These disturbing pictures are from the Willowbrook School from the mid-60s to early 70s. This was an institution that housed 6,000 people with intellectual disabilities in a space that was built for 4,000. Staff to resident ratios were about 50 to 1, and Robert Kennedy called this a snake pit. It was exposed by an up-and-coming journalist named Geraldo Rivera, who snuck cameras in and took these pictures. In the mid-1970s, things began to change. We had the Education for All Handicapped Children Act. I was born and provided rights for students with disabilities within the school system. They had the right to a public education that is appropriate and free and is served in the least restrictive environment, a far cry from the Willowbrook School. More legislation would follow to support the importance of unnecessary segregation of people with intellectual disabilities, as well as create and define comprehensive transition and post-secondary programs, such as the Bethel University BUILD program. We aim to provide a post-secondary experience, which is not something to be taken for granted. We aim to increase independent living skills, increase employabilities, and broaden inclusive opportunities for students with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Transition programs for students with intellectual disabilities, which I will call TIPSIDS because I don't know if I could say that again without stumbling on my words. There are three distinctive models, and the one that I'll focus on today is the inclusive individual support model, which is the model employed by Bethel University. The BUILD program is an inclusive individual support model. This means that students receive individualized services such as peer mentors, technology support, and other natural supports. These are centered around the student's individualized vision and career goals, and those drive the course of study and employment experiences. We don't have a set array of internships for our students. We ask them first, what are your dreams? And then we set up internships that are hopefully designed to further them along in the path according to get those dreams. There's now 256 programs in the United States, and six of those are in Minnesota. Other colleges offer support to students with disabilities through disability support services, but do not have specific programs for students with intellectual disabilities. Bethel University is proud that we just last week heard from the United States Department of Education that we are approved as a comprehensive post-secondary and comprehensive transition and post-secondary program. The other two in Minnesota are Central Lakes College and Brainerd, and the Occupational Skills Program that we've just heard from, both wonderful programs. Here are some of the most beautiful faces you will ever hope to see. They are our students. This is our first cohort of students. BUILD is a two-year post-secondary program for students with intellectual and developmental disabilities. It is the first program in Minnesota that's housed in a four-year university. And our first cohort of students will graduate this spring. They will walk through Bethel University commencement ceremonies alongside traditionally enrolled Bethel University students. BUILD is unique in that it also provides an inclusive residential component. Our students live alongside traditionally enrolled Bethel University students with the support of housing mentors that are also Bethel University students. We have a core curriculum that is centered around helping students to develop their independent living skills, their job skills, their social skills, to help them with money management as well as their physical fitness and their understanding of the Bible. We offer them an opportunity to take elective classes in their area of interest in classrooms alongside traditionally enrolled Bethel University students with professors who have been trained in the use of universal design for learning that makes the learning accessible for our students. We match internships both on campus and off campus to the student's area of interest. The first year, our students participate in internships on campus, and the second year they participate in off campus, in the community internships. Let me give you an example. Last year, right around this time, my director, Don Allen, testified before, I think, this committee, sir, brought a young woman with her named Rita. Rita said that she really wanted to work in an elementary school. However, she didn't think she could. She wasn't smart enough. We started her in an internship the first year in our Child Development Center on campus. This year, she is very successfully completing an internship in a first grade classroom at our local elementary school. Support on the internships is provided by Bethel students, as well as, so we have job mentors, we have housing mentors, we have student academic mentors that help students with their homework, and we also have social mentors that form friendship bonds with our students. This is Billy, who is a tremendous hockey fan and did his internship on campus in the first year with the hockey team. Our students enjoy a wide variety of activities on campus, as well as enjoy hugging the Bethel University mascot. Our students learn to shop for themselves, including the budgeting and meal planning and recipe finding. They learn to manage everyday situations like getting a prescription refilled, and they learn to cook meals for themselves and for their guests. Upon completion of the program, students earn an applied skills certificate with a concentration in one of five areas: health and human services, business and information technology, education, ministry, or the arts. Our first cohort was all Minnesota residents, mostly female. Our second cohort is 12 students. They are currently in their first year of the program. We have 38 applications. Our second cohort, who is in their first year, is mostly male, from Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. This year, we have 36 applications and counting. We will be growing to 16 students and hope to balance with 8 male and 8 female. And this year, we have an applicant who is coming all the way from California. The total amount of our program matches what a typical Bethel student would pay, which is around $46,500 for tuition, fees, room, board, support, and materials. We do have funding partnerships with various state agencies. However, there is still a gap, and we are hoping to make our program more accessible to families who don't enjoy upper middle class wealth and privilege. So we hope to invite and make this program more accessible for more Minnesota students. This is what our president of our university said, is that BUILD is valuable because it offers post-secondary education to a group of students who didn't previously have access, and because it invites additional diversity into our community. We're committed to serving students with intellectual disabilities, helping them to take their place as independent, productive, and valued members of our community and world. This is Patrick, who you will hear from in a minute. And I want to show you the moment that he accepted, or excuse me, that he got his letter of acceptance from Bethel University. So what Bethel University means to Patrick is acceptance. And now it's my great pleasure to introduce Patrick Elmore.
Thanks for being here, Patrick.
Thank you.
And you can identify yourself. That's how we do it here, and then go ahead and testify.
My name is Patrick Elmore. I'm a first-year student at Bethel. 5 years ago, I graduated from high school. I was bullied, called the R-word, and beaten up constantly. Coming to Bethel changed my life forever. I've gotten accepted with most people. I've found an internship I love, which is talking to people, giving them tours at campus. And now I'm looking forward to next year where I might be working at Special Olympics Minnesota.
Wow. So where are you from? Did you?
Orno.
Orno. Okay. And so you went to Orno High School?
Yep.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you really enjoy college.
I love it. It's the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah. Great. Well, I've toured the college and visited with some of the, I think there's still students there. It's only been a couple of years, so they're probably still there. So
they are.
Very good. Anything else you'd like to add, or anyone in the panel like to ask a question? Boy, this is a, we're shyer than our testifiers, so. Well, we have Representative Haley.
I think when you were introduced, you said that you just got back from Washington, D.C. Can you share your experience there?
I was chosen by Special Olympics Minnesota to talk to our representatives and senators for the state about supporting Special Olympics. I was chosen out of 8,200 athletes.
Oh, very good. That's very good. And how long were you there?
2 days.
2 days? Okay.
We excused him from his classes.
Oh, okay. That's good. And you compete in Special Olympics, right? And what?
Yes.
What's your specialty?
Basketball. I do basketball, volleyball, flag football, swimming, golf, volleyball, softball, and bowling.
So what don't you do? We had a question over here.
Mr. Chair, you asked my question. Thank you.
Okay. Yes,
thank
you. All right. So it's delightful that you're here. I haven't been to Washington myself, so I envy people that. Did you meet the president, by the way?
No.
Oh. Next time. So, anything else from the members? Again, thank you for being here. This is very, very good for us to hear. This is a great program.
Thank you so much for your time.
Okay. You're welcome. Representative Jessup, do you have any parting thoughts?
Mr. Chair, thank you for this time. Janelle, Patrick, thank you so much for being with us today. Greatly appreciate it. Okay. Chair, I would like to move this forward.
Okay. House Bill 2401, then, is held over for possible inclusion. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Haley.
Thank you, Chair Nornes and committee members.
Make the motion.
I would like to move House File 631 for possible inclusion.
I have a different number.
Oh, I'm sorry.
2374. Try that one.
I think, hang on a minute. Are we talking about youth skills training?
That's what I've got. Right?
Okay. Give me a minute here. I've got a couple different bills today. That was my error, Chair Nornes.
That's all right. Yeah. Could have been mine too, but 2374 then is before us, and proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Chair and committee members. I'd like to present House File 2374. It's a program to establish scholarships at Minnesota State. The scholarship awards would be $2,500, evenly distributed over two academic terms. The eligibility would be a resident or a qualifying for resident tuition, take at least 9 credits, and studying in some key fields where we have a very high opportunity in our state where we need workers. That would be advanced manufacturing, agriculture, healthcare services, and information technology. The students could receive scholarships more than once, but wouldn't exceed a lifetime award of $5,000. Minnesota State would establish the application process, and preference would be given based on financial need. I'm excited to introduce this legislation. Again, I think you've heard me talk before about the workforce needs in our state, and I'm very passionate about connecting education and industry, and feel that we need to provide incentives to our industries that are going to see a workforce shortage in the coming years. And in addition, to tell students what those industries are so as they look for their trying to chart their college path, they can make smart decisions about majors and how they invest their time and their money. So I would ask for your support. I don't have testifiers today. They're currently testifying on other bills. So okay. I'm sorry. It's just me, Chair Nornes.
No need to apologize. So we'll bombard you with questions.
All right.
That's a fire. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. So the scholarships are based on need?
Yes, they are.
Is this something also that we would look at equity as a criteria too, or as an outcome that we'd be looking for?
Representative Haley.
Thank you, Chair and Representative Pryor. Can you describe more what you are looking for, Representative Pryor?
So if we're looking at gender gap in certain fields, or if we're looking at people of color moving into high-paying jobs, people living in generational poverty, would that be any of the outcomes that we'd be looking for?
I'd certainly be open to that. But thank you, Chair and Representative Pryor. I would be open to discussing that. The language in the bill currently doesn't state that. It just states to give preference for financial need and financial equity. But I appreciate your point.
Okay. Any other questions? Then you get the final word.
I would appreciate your support on this bill. I think it helps, again, both students and helps prepare graduates to meet our workforce shortage in these fields. Thank you.
All right. So House File 2374 then will be laid over for possible inclusion. One more bill. Pressure is on. Representative Albright. Did I surprise you?
No.
Okay. I think it's House File 2422.
Chair, did you move?
I did not.
But I'll move House File 2422 before us.
All right.
And with that, members, this is a fairly succinct and straightforward bill. And as House Research has enumerated in their bill summary, the bill would require that when the Board of Trustees of the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities negotiates collective bargaining agreements with its instructional and administrative employees, the Board may not agree to employee compensation amounts that would exceed the funds currently available to the Board for employee compensation purposes. I'm happy to stand for questions. I would understand, as I've interacted with both the institutions in this room, that they probably have some concerns about the implications of this bill, and I'm happy to answer their questions as well as clarify what the bill does and doesn't pertain to with the assistance of House Research.
So you'd like to call down the testifiers at this time?
If they wish to do so.
Okay.
Yes. Mr. Chair, while he's coming down, I believe that this is going to be laid over for possible inclusion.
That is correct.
In the omnibus bill.
Right.
Welcome. Chair Norris, thank you. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mark Grant. I'm a communication studies instructor at Dakota County Technical College and currently the chair of governmental relations for Minnesota State College faculty. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to this bill today. I want to thank Representative Albright for taking the time to meet with me earlier today. It's got a very nice office. It's the nicest office I've ever been in here.
I have a chair, by the way, in my office.
Yes.
Talk about nice.
Yes, it's very nice. Our primary concern with this, as it's written, is that we see it significantly impacting our ability on the two-year campuses to attract and maintain the highly skilled and highly qualified faculty that we're going to need as we work to meet the workforce needs of Minnesota in the future. In addition, we believe that if you take a look at the historical data, it's going to reveal a consistent and prudent approach to bargaining on both the part of the faculty and the system administration. I think the same historical data is going to show that faculty employment and therefore all of the faculty-related expenses generally track enrollment and those enrollment levels as we see those go up and down. Over time, we're very comfortable that we have found a balance via good faith collective bargaining, and we're concerned that this bill would significantly disrupt that balance. That's actually all I have. I thank you again for the opportunity, and I'm happy to answer or try to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions from members? Which college were you from?
Dakota County Technical College.
Okay, I think I've been there too.
Yes.
Yeah. It was built as a shopping center, wasn't it?
Believe it was. I believe it was. And it's still
very unique.
It's very Milwaukee as you walk around, yes.
It is very nice. A little extra trivia that most of you didn't know about. Any other questions from members? All right, thank you very much. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Thank you, committee. My name is Jonathan Bowen. I represent the InterFaculty Organization, the faculty at the seven Minnesota State universities. Well, I thank Representative Albright for taking the time to meet with us today to go through some of our concerns and then also for your time to hear from us. So over the last 30 years, we've worked very closely with the administration and with the legislature to ensure that our faculty and our universities have the resources they need to attract and retain faculty of highly qualified backgrounds, and they can serve students the best and provide the best quality education out there. And the funding from the legislature has been, needless to say, a bit of a roller coaster. And for us to work just off that number that we can bargain for, it puts us at quite a disadvantage in a pretty highly competitive field. We're in competition with universities around the country to attract and retain our professors. And I think that our relationship between the central office and our universities has been good. It's worked. And the legislature does have a built-in check currently if they don't like the contracts that are agreed to. And so we think the current system works well. We appreciate the concern and would be happy to talk more about how we can make it better, but I think at this point we think the current system works perfectly well, and we look forward to working with you to ensure that there continues to be more investment and the legislature gets back to a level of funding that's more fair to students and families.
All right, thank you. Questions? Ronnie, I guess you're free to go. Stay in the room, maybe, just in case. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, a general question. Representative Bernardi.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have concern about this. I have concern about this bill. It almost seems like a preemption bill or a taking away local control bill.
We don't say preemption.
It's kind of like, so I just have real concerns about that. Is that something that is that your intent? Take away control of the people that do negotiations and labor agreements, to take away that control?
All right.
Mr. Chair and Representative Bernardi, it is not. It is my firm belief, though, that both particularly Minn State and those of the University of Minnesota, although it's an open system on the University of Minnesota, needs to hew to the budget that they are provided with and be afforded an opportunity to work within that budget in a more disciplined way.
Bernardi?
No, I don't have any further comment.
Okay, then we'll move on to the next testifier. Welcome.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm going to make some remarks, and then I've been told that there's one more popcorn left.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, members, for an opportunity to speak. My name is Laura King, and I'm the Vice Chancellor for Finance and the Chief Financial Officer for Minnesota State. We certainly share the goal that's expressed in this bill that revenues and expenses match from year to year. In fact, our board has an abiding position that when I bring them college and university budgets in the spring, that they have to be balanced, that revenues and expenses have to match. We were with you earlier this session talking about our legislative budget request that included $143 million for compensation and operating cost inflation in the coming biennium. That is the cost to us for salary settlements assumed to be 3% per year for 18 and 19. But if I might just take a moment, our situation is a little more complicated than maybe it appears on its face because we share negotiating authority with Minnesota Management and Budget. Minnesota Management and Budget negotiates on our behalf for all the classified employees that we have working at all of our colleges and universities across the state. 32% of our total compensation costs and 38% of our workforce is subject to negotiations that we're not a party to. So I'll be interested in talking with the author about how to work that dimension into this language. I'm not getting a picture on it yet, so I look forward to that conversation. Our board and our staff in the chancellor's office negotiate the faculty contracts, so we negotiate the remaining 62% of the employees and about I don't have a dollar amount here, but about 60% of the dollars. So we share that responsibility with MMB. The contracts that we negotiate are brought to our board. They're approved by the board before they're forwarded to the executive branch and to the legislative branch. Typically, MMB negotiates classified contracts first, and then we follow with negotiations for faculty contracts, and that puts us at a bit of a disadvantage from a financial planning standpoint because we don't know what MMB is going to do until they do it. And then we're left, generally it's after the legislative session has concluded, and so we're left from a negotiating standpoint in a sort of a compromised position. Our board is not asked to agree to the contracts that MMB negotiates, so that's a dimension of this language that I'd look forward to getting some guidance on. We don't have the ability to agree or not agree with the work MMB does. We're simply a customer as they're negotiating contracts. And then, of course, the contracts are all signed off by the governor and ultimately the legislature. You have delegated to our board the authority to negotiate contracts with our state university faculty and our community and technical college faculty and our state university administrative faculty, and we would really ask that you leave that delegation intact and rely upon our board to do the work that it's done well these past years. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone else care to testify? Anyone have questions? Representative Pryor.
Thank you, Chair. This is really a question. My understanding is that there is a deadline for policy bills that was last week, and that when I read this, it looks like it's a policy bill, not a financial bill. And so how does our process work?
I can answer that question. Uh-huh. We're a policy and finance committee, and we have just a different jurisdiction, so we have an extra week to finish all of our bills, including the policy. Yeah. That probably was not clear to anybody until now. But that's the way it is. Yeah. Final questions or comments?
Mr. Hughes has some comments.
Okay. Mark Hughes?
I'll be quick. Member of the committee, Mark Hughes, chairman on this. I just wanted to say today that, the Kennedy family was good to the disabled back in the day and did a lot for the disability community. There was one very important Minnesotan that was kind of forgotten today, and that's Congressman Jim Ramstad. For those of you that don't know, in the early 80s, he wrote and created the Ticket to Work program, whereby a lot of the disabled folks who went to work could still keep their benefits and earn a paycheck, was the short version of that. But he was very instrumental in disability employment, did a lot of work here in Minnesota and in Washington, D.C.
Well, thank you for reminding us. Representative, now Senator Westrum, was actually on that committee for a while and commuted to Washington on a numerous occasion to be a part of that. So.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right, last word, Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, we understand that the decision about contracting between the various institutions and entities is a complex one. And I certainly recognize the comment made by Representative Bernardi and others that we are under and are tasked with the responsibility of setting a budget for them. And that being said, there are some extraneous forces that we certainly need to appreciate. And that being said, holding it over for possible conclusion certainly avails us as the time to work the details out so that we can make this as robust and meaningful as possible. So with that, I thank you for your consideration.
All right. Senator Walbright, House File 2422 will be held over for possible inclusion. And thank you very much. We also thank you for getting us out of here exactly on time.
Yeah.
We're done.